Good Wednesday to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. As you look around your world, what are some evidences you see of great power? How about a nuclear power plant producing huge amounts of electricity? Or maybe a rocket launch? Or maybe military power or political power or even the power of AI? Now here's an important question. Can you distinguish the difference between when power is being used for good or when power is being used for evil? Over the past few days, we've been with the Apostle Paul in early 51 AD as he is writing his second letter to the Christians in the Macedonian city of Thessalonica. Paul has been trying to correct confusion about the future returns to earth of Jesus Christ and what we should anticipate will happen each time Jesus returns here. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul describes the rise of a very evil man, often called the Antichrist, and his global evil influence. Paul echoes that warning with this statement in 2 Thessalonians 2:9. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Oh my, that statement is so very powerful and should serve as a great warning to all people in all places. But alas, we humans have short memories, and rarely do we pass on to the next generations the very important lessons and warnings which might prevent succeeding generations from experiencing the deceptions and tragedies which we experienced. Look around your part of the world today, and I'm sure you see many examples of that generational failure. How have you passed on important life lessons you've learned to your own family so they don't make the same mistakes you did? Let's please notice three very significant warnings Paul gives us in this fairly brief but important statement. First, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. Yes, since the beginning of time, Satan has a methodology to his madness. In fact, while Satan's tactics may vary, his wicked schemes are ultimately unchanged through time. Peter warned us with this powerful statement, "The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." 1 Peter 5:8. Let there be no mistake. Satan's ultimate objective for every person, every marriage, every family is despair and death without any hope of God. Satan's schemes have always included deceit. Jesus warned us, explaining that Satan's language is lies, John 8:44. Satan used that tactic in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, and has continued it every day since. God gives every person a mind to learn and think, and a conscience to consider right and wrong, truth and lies. Two other schemes of Satan are selfishness and pride. We all know how easily we fall into these traps and the damage they can do. So, how well are you prioritizing the development of your discernment so you can tell when Satan's deceitful, selfish schemes are working on you? How effectively are we helping our children and grandchildren learn to discern and reject Satan's schemes, which are aimed to draw each of us into despair? Remember Paul's warning of Ephesians chapter 6, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil. Can you discern when spiritual evil forces are at work in the circumstances which you face? Second, Paul wrote, he will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. Is it possible Satan and his kingdom of darkness have powers to do amazing things which impress or amaze and draw people into Satan's darkness? Oh yes, my friends. The world of the occult, of sorcery, of the demonic is very real and very powerful in deluding people into believing and following very wicked schemes, scams, delusions, and even wicked leaders. And Satan's lie is always that his way is ultimately better and those who follow will end up with much more satisfaction. Deception is one of Satan's most powerful weapons. Can you identify such powerful schemes in your city, which may appear attractive, but will be a deadly trap? Third, Paul wrote, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Look closely at your society. Is truth honored, protected, and cherished? Is there absolute truth or relative truth in your world? God, the creator of the universe and all life, proclaims that he establishes fundamental truth, Isaiah 45. But our world is full of people who reject that claim and demand the right to define their own truth, including even redefining their own gender. Rejection of God's truth results not in freedom, but in bondage, and ultimately in perish, which is eternity with Satan apart from God. Do you love and desire to protect God's truth at all costs? Paul then concludes with this powerful statement, and so all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Some years later, Paul expanded on this strong reality by writing Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 32. And friends, I urge you to take time to read that very carefully today. Paul begins with this, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth. And human history is the story of that harsh reality, isn't it? As God's truth is suppressed and replaced by man-made artificial truth, God does not force his truth upon humanity, but God will hold humanity accountable for abandoning God's truth. God allows humanity to pursue and embrace self-destroying foolishness. And have you noticed we are living in that terrible reality right now, especially in some of the most freedom-focused societies in the world, like America. Three times in those Romans 1 verses, Paul states, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to their shameful lusts, and to a depraved mind. If you are a parent, a grandparent, you have sadly seen this reality. This is why King Solomon wrote the Wisdom Book of Proverbs, each verse of which pleads with us to embrace wisdom and reject the enticing but destructive foolishness of our truth-rejecting world. We need to pause here, my friends, and give serious consideration to Paul's appeal in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and Romans chapter 1. In the final few verses of 2 Thessalonians 2, you'll see Paul encourages us to celebrate the work of the Holy Spirit sanctifying God's people as we enthusiastically embrace God's truth. So what is your response, your commitment to developing truth-based discernment and rejecting Satan's schemes? Are you considered a wise person with great discernment, able to detect danger and avoid it? Are you standing for truth and warning of deception and approaching despair where you live in the world? And tomorrow, we'll join Paul in his third and final chapter of 2 Thessalonians.